You're listening to Inside North Central Massachusetts, powered by the North Central Massachusetts Chamber of Commerce.
We're joined on the Inside North Central Massachusetts podcast today by Gardner Mayor Mike Nicholson. Mr. Mayor, thanks for being here.
Thank you very much for having me, Travis. Always happy to join you guys.
Happy to have you here. So first of all, how are things going with the ongoing vaccine administrations that are happening over at the PACC?
Things are going quite well. The state has started to release weekly data that shows the amount of people from each individual city and town across Massachusetts is doing vaccine-wise. So we're seeing right now in Gardner alone, for the age group 75 plus, we're at 89% vaccinated with at least one shot given in there. That does include people who are still waiting for their second dose, but that's still a great start for us there. And when you look at ages 65 to 74, we're at 82% for that. So for the age groups that were had traditionally been open from the start of the whole vaccination program, we're doing quite well. And as more and more age groups become eligible to receive the vaccine, we are continuing to move forward with that process as well. About 34% of the city right now has at least one vaccine shot. So that's, again, both people who are fully vaccinated or have one shot and are waiting for a second dose. So that's a great place to be this early on in the process where, you know, everyone's still starting to be eligible to receive the vaccine. 34% out of 20,000 people, that's pretty good.
Now, early on in the vaccination rollout, Gardner actually started its own city website for registration. Are a lot of folks still using that registration website, or are you finding more of the registrations now just coming from the state resources?
So all of our Gardner appointments are done on the city's registration form. Now, Where the state comes into that is we do have to release the link to that form to the state who puts it on the state's Find My Vaccine website. So that is where we're seeing some traffic there. However, the majority of people who are using that form are going to the city's website and pulling up the form that way. I can say that we are seeing a greater number of people from the Metro Boston area starting to register for appointments at our clinic. And a lot of that can be attributed to the closing of the Fenway Park vaccination site so that the Reds can start their season. We did have a clinic a couple of weeks ago where 45% of the people who registered for an appointment were from the greater Boston area. So one of the ways that we're kind of trying to even that out, while we do hope everyone has any opportunity to be vaccinated, we do have to make sure we can try to find ways to prioritize people in the area. We cannot restrict to the greater Gardner, North Central Mass area, other state regulations, but we can make efforts to prioritize people from that area. And we're seeing a lot of people in Gardner's call center that we also started early on in our vaccination process come from the greater Gardner, North Central area, where the people online tend to be coming from other places. So what we've done is when we started our vaccine process, we did 80% of the appointments are available online and only 20% through the call center. We have switched those numbers. So now 20% of the appointments are online and 80% are through the COVID call center that we have here, just to try to make sure people in the local area do have the ability to register for a vaccine and get that appointment there. So that is one of the changes that we've made, not only with our website, but with our call center, both of which that we released early on in the vaccination process and are still going strong today.
And you mentioned those statistics about vaccination percentages in Gardner, and looking at the latest COVID numbers in Gardner, how are things like those metrics affecting city operations at this point in the pandemic?
You know, they're going pretty strong. I can say that I don't want people to get too comfortable when you're hearing these numbers. Yes, we are on a good trend, but that doesn't mean we take any of the procedures, regulations, or restrictions any more lightly. This is something that we do, we still are in the thick of a pandemic and we do still have to take seriously. But I can say our numbers are lower. We have opened all of our public buildings. The library now has released a timeline in which they will be open again on June 1st, just to allow some of their staff to, you know, get used to the current procedures and go through the training process of sanitizing the books in a way that won't affect the pages and things of that nature. So we are opening back up, and it is something that's great to see. But again, we do need to make sure we still take those regulations as seriously as possible to make sure that we don't go back in the other direction. I think another thing that we're seeing because of the way that our numbers are trending down and the number of active cases that we have is there's new different programming we can offer to help keep that trend going.
And while we're on the subject of reopening, one of the other things I want to mention is we have seen a return to some students in the classroom. How has that been going so far?
It's been going excellent. In fact, I went and visited one of our classrooms today. A group of our students, while we were still in a hybrid model, sent the school committee and myself a list of ideas on everything they thought Elm Street School should be used for after our new elementary school has been made. And I really wanted to talk to them because it was great to see some third graders come up with some great ideas, from a recording studio for musicians to a community center to an aquatic park. So the ideas went all over the place there. So it was really neat to be back in the building and really have that face-to-face time with our students. And I think it's great for our students too. I've said it from the start, our schools don't just teach reading, writing, and arithmetic. They teach students how to interact with each other, how to be respectful, how to share, how to public speak. And while we did what we could, and we, with the remote period and the hybrid period, and we did just, you know, everything we could do at that time, and we did a great job with it, I think it's great to be back and have those interactions. And I think our teachers are doing an excellent job keeping up and keeping pace with that work.
Now, if things continue in the direction that they're going, do you see this in school? If things keep continuing this direction, do you see more students returning to school before the end of the school year? Or do you believe we'll see a return maybe to a more full classroom by the fall?
I think by the fall is my quick answer to that question here. Parents do still have the opportunity this current school year to keep their students fully remote for the remaining of the year if that's what they feel comfortable with. And I think that's really down to the nit and gritty of it, is that parents have that option. You don't have to take it, but that's there if that's what makes you feel comfortable. You know, for a lot of parents, you know, their child is their life, and that's, you want to make sure they're safe, secure, and that you feel calm and comfortable with whatever setting your students in. Parents who choose that option, that's completely up to them, and we fully understand that. So I really think by September is when we'll have everyone back into the schools. If parents choose to have their students come back in the schools, great. Again, all the power to them. That's their choice. But I really think September is when we're going to see our students fully back in the schools.
Now, how will the end of the school year be handled? A lot of folks might be wondering what's going to happen for seniors, for those who will be graduating. Will there be any kind of ceremony? And if so, will it be in person? Will there be like maybe one or two family members allowed, or is it going to be an internet event?
So the state just released preliminary guidance on graduations this past week. And I know that we are planning on having an in-person graduation ceremony for Gardner High School and Gardner Academy, our two high school institutions that we have here in the city. What the logistics of that will look like, we will be working on an ongoing basis to try to figure out, just because we could plan something now with the guidance that came out last week, and then next week there's different guidance that comes out. So it will be an evolving structure that happens. And when we get closer, probably mid-May, that's when we release our final graduation plans. But I can tell you the plan is right now to do an in-person ceremony for our students.
And you mentioned that you've been having some discussion with students about what will happen to the, you know, kind of the fate of the Elm Street School once the new elementary school is built. What is the plan for that building? Do you have any idea of what it may look like apart from those ideas that some of these younger community members are having?
So for Elm Street School, we actually have to continue to use it for educational purposes because there was some MSBA, Massachusetts School Building Authority grant funding that went into it during the past 10 years. And if you remove that building from an educational purpose within a certain number of years after you receive funding from the school building authority, you actually have to pay that money back. So in order to avoid a couple million dollar financial hit, we will continue to use it for some type of educational purpose. What exactly yet, we are still up in the air. There's about six or seven different options that we're weighing out. I can tell you with the Waterford Street School, it's to convert that building into a community center that'll house a portion of our Boys and Girls Club. Potentially some other community outreach programs. And Helen May Sauter continues to be our Gardner Academy right now. It's a Gardner Academy for Learning and Technology. That's our alternative high school. The preliminary option right now is to look at potentially moving that over into Elm Street or into a part of Elm Street and making the Helen May Sauter our central office building for our superintendent. However, again, those plans are still going to be evolving, and probably by next spring we'll have the final answer, since the school is set to open next fall of 2022. So we probably will finalize all those things spring of 22.
And you actually got to take a tour of that construction site to see that work and how it's progressing. Are we on track for that 2022 with what you've seen out there?
Yeah, the keys will be handed over to the superintendent in July of 2022. Teachers will be able to move into their classrooms July and August of 22, and students will be in that building come September that year. I am very, very excited. We're actually going a little quicker than the timeline, so knock on wood that stays. And I couldn't be happier with how Bacon Construction is handling everything up there. It's just been very, very helpful and great work, honestly. There's no better way to put it than just the simple words. It's great work being done.
And when you mentioned that timeline, were you nervous earlier on in the pandemic that might have affected this project for this new school?
I think we all were. I think it was just something that was up in the air. We had the groundbreaking mid-pandemic. But I think, you know, again, with the vaccines working out, construction workers are now eligible to be vaccinated. But even with all of that, the precautions are being followed. The procedures are being done as they need to. And things are going exactly how they're supposed to be going.
And talking about construction that's happening in Gardner, there's a lot of work happening in Gardner. Last week, I saw a photo that showed some progress on the Pleasant Street Bridge. Can you talk to us a little bit about the progress and the work that's happening over there?
Absolutely. We're expecting traffic to be able to go through the Pleasant Street Bridge intersection by the end of this month, which is something great to hear. Where after, you know, 6 to 10 years, it's been closed to traffic. If not before that, it was only closed to one lane of traffic. But, you know, that affects a lot of people. It's one of the main thoroughfares that connects South Gardner with the downtown area. And very excited to see that. We're told by the DOT, because that is a state project, that after traffic is allowed through this year, the landscaping should be done sometime mid-May, and they'll do a formal dedication ceremony around Memorial Day as the bridge is being named after a Gardner resident who was killed in a classified submarine mission during World War II. And that mission was subsequently declassified by President Trump right before he left office. So Corporal Lawrence Lucas Avicius was a Gardner resident who was in a submarine that was sunk by the Germans right at the beginning of the war. So the War Department did not want to release that at that time. Now that we know his name, we know his story, we're going to be honoring him that way at Memorial Day this year. And that'll be the formal dedication for that bridge.
I'm sure a lot of folks are looking forward to this. And you mentioned it is one of the main thoroughfares to connect those two parts of the city. It has been closed for a long amount of time. How much are you expecting this new change to impact traffic and change the flow of cars moving through the city when this reopens?
You know, I go back and forth on that one there, Travis. And I know that's not really an answer you expect someone to say in one of these, but I really, you know, the bridge has been closed for 6 to 10 years, like I said. So some people may just be like, oh, the bridge is open, I'm going to go drive down the bridge. And it could be like this new novelty thing where the first month and a half, you're going to have traffic going night and day over there. But some people just may be used to their new traffic routes, so they may not travel there. So it's something we're preparing for both and planning for both to make sure that we have the speed control in the area, because the bridge being closed, even though it was with the old traffic conditions, we want to make sure people aren't flying down that new area there too. But we really don't know if people are going to just continue with the way they've been used to the past 6 years or take this new route.
And while we're in the subject of bridges, another bridge that comes to mind is the South Main Street Bridge in Gardner. Where does that work that needs to be done there currently stand?
So that work at the South Main Street Bridge is one of the bigger thing I had to deal with an office, and that's that the city owns half the bridge and the railroad owns the other half of the bridge. Anything we want to do, we need an easement from the railroad in order to be able to repair their area as well. They have yet to come to the table for discussions with us on that topic, but it is something that we are continuing to push, and we've got our state delegation also pushing for to make sure that we can begin those conversations. Because it is a place that affects a lot of people. And I understand that prior to the bridge being closed due to its safety conditions, the railroad had reached out to former Mayor Hawk before me several times asking the city to just close the bridge, because one of the things that the railroads are trying to do is reduce the amount of street crossings that they have. And that was one of the ones that they cited as one they could lose. So I think now that we had to close it, they're more reluctant for us to try to do any effort to reopen it, but it is something that is a priority for us here in City Hall to get that bridge back open and do everything we can to try to get at the table with the railroad and at least start those conversations, let alone do anything else from there. But we're continuing to do all we can to at least try to get some work done on that bridge.
And when you're in a situation like that, where there is that involvement from the railroad and there is having to deal with easements and those kind of discussions, has there been any talk in terms of what the city can maybe do to take full ownership of that bridge or full control of that area?
We've had conversations with that. It's a little hard because when you get within a certain number of feet of actual railroad tracks, there's certain conditions that have to be met. So doing that would put all of those on the city. So that's why we haven't really explored those options any further, just because we don't want to open up any potential liability hazards that could come with it.
Now, what other work is expected to be done this spring throughout the city in terms of construction projects?
There's going to be a lot. I've had a lot of people call Downtown Gardner the Big Dig this past year with all of the water main projects that we put in last year. And those are going to continue throughout the city. So I can tell you that on May 1st, the crews that were out paving in the downtown last year are going to be back. If you remember last fall, we stated that we talked to a couple of the downtown businesses who asked if we could do the base coat in the fall, let businesses have full operation and no worry about any traffic interruptions for the Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas seasons, and then come back in the spring and do the final coat. So on May 1st, crews will go out and dig up all of the manholes, drain grids, sewer caps, and all of the other metal structures that are in the road. And then on May 18th, after all of those are done, between the 18th and the 21st, crews will come back out and put the final coat of pavement on Main Street, Nickel Street, City Hall Ave, and Central Street and Vernon Street. So those will get their final coat of pavement between May 18th and May 21st. And then we'll continue with our water main project. At the beginning of last year, actually, is what it was. The city took out an $11 million loan to replace a lot of the old water main pipes in the city. And that construction will be done on Parker Street. It'll also be done on Central Street, Pearl Street, Warwick, and I think two other streets. We're spending more money this current calendar year on our infrastructure in terms of paving, sidewalks, and waterways than we have since 1989. So it's going to be one of the bigger investments that we're doing here. So there will be a fair amount of construction in the city this year, but we'll make sure we have enough detour signs and police details out to make sure you can still get to where you need to go. But this is something we haven't done in over 100 years here in the city, and it's about time we do it. And it just really helps us breathe new life into the area. We can say we have these updated infrastructure projects, and it shows the investment that we're willing to make in ourselves so that other people can come in and make the investment in us too.
You mentioned that 100 years. When you look at projects like this and you start to do this infrastructure, now do we look down the road and say, hey, let's not let future administrations have to deal with this as far down the road? And do we look at more kind of ongoing maintenance as opposed to some deferred maintenance that might have happened in decades past?
Exactly. We're trying to get to where we can manage it at this point. Mm-hmm. It's something that, if we can fix everything and get it baseline, then it's just maintenance after that point, rather than having to do these big, large projects that we have to catch up with. One of the things I've said to people from when I start is, if you look at a lot of the projects we've done, it's the new school, it's the roadway 100-year projects, it's our water 100-year projects, and different things like that. We're doing things that for the purpose of trying to get something done that's going to outlive us. That way it's something that's taken care of for the next 50 to 75 years that we don't have to worry about. And it's just simple maintenance at that point. And that's one of the main focuses that we're trying to do now in Gardner, is how can we do something long-term that then it's just maintenance and it's not a big headache that we're having to deal with at that point.
Now, you're also on hand for the groundbreaking of the Genesis Building project on West Broadway at the end of last month. Can you tell us a little bit more about this project and the rest of the area's investment from Timpani Crossroads?
Yeah, so that program, that I expect Starbucks to be open by September is the answer to the question that keeps Facebook and emails and phone calls. Starbucks will be open in September here in Gardner. Now, there are three buildings over at the Timpani Crossroads area named after the streets that were initially planned for that location when it was actually set as a subdivision. Mm-hmm. So the Gendith, and I forget the name of the other building, but that is also there as well. So the 99 has one building. The Gendith building will have Starbucks, and that's going to be closest on the corner by the lights. And you can actually start to see where the drive-through for Starbucks will be going around the building. If you go visit the site, the foundation has already been poured in. It'll also hold Perry swimming pools, Edward Jones, and then there are two open storefronts that are still being advertised by Timpani Crossroads. Over on the building that's currently being constructed and is pretty much fully up, there will be Block Cannabis Dispensary. That'll be a retail cannabis store. And then there are still two other open storefronts there as well that are being marketed by Timpani Crossroads.
So you've got some businesses in the pipeline and potentially four unannounced businesses that we might see in the coming months.
Correct. Yes. And there is some flexibility there too. If someone wants to come in and wants a bigger space, they are willing, and they have said that, to combine two of those spaces into one if need be. But there's opportunity for growth. And I think the fact that we've already seen so much growth in that area and there's still opportunity there, that's going to be quite the sight when it's done. And I'm very excited for it.
And you mentioned seeing opportunity in that area. When you have projects like this that really breathe new life into Gardner, what does that mean from an economic development standpoint to see this kind of investment, especially during the pandemic?
I mean, it means everything in terms of our economic development goals. If you see other places, around Massachusetts and around the country, this pandemic really hit them where it hurt. And we saw a lot of businesses close nationwide. And our businesses here in the area took quite a hit too. but we're growing and we continued growing. And while we lost a couple of familiar faces due to the pandemic, we gained more. And the fact that we have a net gain in the number of businesses that have opened up in the city in the past year and a half shows that, you know, we're better off than a lot of places realize. And a lot of places were during the pandemic closing and are now scrambling to try to find places to come into the city, their cities and towns, to make up those spots. So I think that just shows a lot of the resilience and commitment that we have here in Gardner and in the whole North Central area for, you know, being willing to work with our business communities and have that opportunity to go forward.
I know a lot of communities will sometimes have almost a wish list of things they would like to see come into the city. When you look at that net gain and you look at opportunity in Gardner, is there anything specific that you would like to see come to Gardner in terms of business opportunities?
I'd love a bakery. Honest to God, I'd love a bakery. I think it fits good. I'm actually in conversations with a coffee shop that's interested in coming to open up a small little cafe sit down area and see how coffee is manufactured. We're looking for a spot for them. I think if we could get someplace with them and then a bakery next door or something like that, that would just go hand in hand with each other, and finding different businesses that could have that symbiotic relationship with each other. And there's also just, you know, some other larger employment jobs that we're in conversation with to see if we can find some land for them here in the city to build and continue. I think it's excellent. I mean, you just look at our two health sector employers that we have here in the city, Haywood Hospital and the Community Health Connections. You know, Haywood Hospital is our largest employer, followed by Mount Winchester College. And our health sector is just the biggest one in general. That's why I'm throwing CHC in there too. Haywood is just doing a $33 million expansion to add a new surgical wing onto their current facility. And the Community Health Connection just bought 15 acres of land next to Walmart in Gardner, and they're doing a massive expansion over there. So just seeing these businesses that are well established in the city expanding on top of these new ones coming in, you know, in 10 years from now, I don't know if I'll be in this seat. I don't know who's going to be where, but I know Gardner is going to be one exciting place to be, to make sure with just everything that's going on. It's going to be great.
And for those who are joining us right now on the Inside North Central Massachusetts podcast, we're talking with Gardner Mayor Mike Nicholson. Mayor Nicholson, if folks want more information on some of those economic development opportunities in the city, or if they've got questions about vaccines or they need help with something at City Hall, what's the best way for them to contact your office?
You can always contact my office by phone. The phone number is 978-630-1490, or email me at any time at mayor@gardner-ma.gov. I'll be sure to get back to you with any questions and answers you have. And just one more time, if you are looking to register for a COVID vaccination appointment, either for the PACC or for a homebound vaccination appointment with one of our EMTs, you can call our COVID hotline at 978-958-9057, and one of our operators will be sure to help you there too.
Gardner Mayor Mike Nicholson, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Travis.
You've been listening to Inside North Central Massachusetts. This podcast is produced by the North Central Massachusetts Chamber of Commerce. For more information on this episode, links to other episodes on Podbean, or if you have any questions, please visit northcentralmass.com.